coming in fast on Other Base. This is Kiddush Club. We're back.
The real Other is finally here.
Yeah, the fake Other is done.
Right.
No imposters here. And coming fresh off our last episode where we talked about seltzer, we actually got some feedback, and we wanted to take one of the suggestions that we got, and this is from Pinchas Rosenberg, and we're going to tweak his idea. He had this idea that we should do a live taste test of Be'er Mayim seltzer versus Mayim Chaim seltzer.
Ah.
But instead, we are going to do a twist on that, and we're going to be doing a taste test between a blind, double-blind taste test between Be'er Mayim and White Rock seltzer. And the reason we're doing this is because White Rock is a national brand.
That's what you found in the store.
That is correct. No, and it's also because White Rock is like a national brand. You find it in supermarkets. Be'er Mayim, you're only going to find in kosher establishments. And we are both not seltzer connoisseurs.
Correct.
Right? We established that in the last episode. If you don't know what we're talking about, go back. We'll still be here when you get back. Go back, listen to the last episode, and then come back and continue. So we're not seltzer connoisseurs, but we are going to attempt to see if we can, if we like one more than the other.
Right. So we'll see if there's a difference.
Exactly.
Okay, I hear.
Okay. Well, you sound, I mean, you know, I don't want to say it.
I'm ready.
I sound ready. Pretty ready. Okay, take the first cup. This is double blind. Do not look what's written on the bottom. You ready? In 3, 2, 1, take your first sip.
Weak carbonation. I don't feel the burn.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what you want in a good seltzer.
Is that what you want, though?
I think so.
I don't want to feel burned, though.
Let's go to the
second. Okay, let's go to the next one. Don't look at what's written on mine. Yeah, that's got the burn.
Yeah. More fizz in this one. For sure more fizz. What is it?
Be'er Mayim. Look at what's on the bottom of yours. Anything written?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's Be'er Mayim. The other one has a W.
You have to admit that they're putting extra carbonation.
So, you know what's funny? The bottle, I didn't want to tell you this. The bottle actually says highly carbonated exclamation point.
Right. The White Rock is making no such claims.
No such claims. Seltzer friends, we don't know. Is the carbonation the thing you're looking for? Is that what you want? You want carbonation?
Do you want high carbonation? So, is that what we're trying to get?
We knew this was happening because before we started the show, I was opening the bottles, and I opened the White Rock seltzer, and it opened normally. Then I started to open the Be'er Mayim seltzer. And
it was everywhere. It didn't really come out, but you can see.
It tried to.
Yeah.
It was trying.
It has a mind of its own.
And then he tells me, he's like, well, you should have known. This is not the
first. Right. You should. I mean, come on, man.
This is
your first seltzer opening?
And you know what's crazy? Even after it was open, so now the cap is off. This thing was still bubbling like it was a pot of boiling water.
It's radioactive.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
It's like they weren't kidding about the highly carbonated. So you've heard it here. If you like the carbonation aspect, but otherwise, I mean, as far as taste goes, can you detect any difference?
No, they both taste like carbonated water, which is what they are. But the taste difference just comes from the carbonation.
Right. No, that's for sure. Well, we discussed this in a previous podcast, that the whole point of carbonation is that it's poisonous, right? So the carbon dioxide is poisonous, and it causes an inflammation in the tongue, which makes your taste receptors more sensitive. It's just like spicy foods, right? What happens is that they interact with your taste sensors, with your tongue, and the poison aspect of it inflames them, and so you become more sensitive to taste.
Right, when you think about it, right? Like a hot pepper.
Right.
There's nothing hot about it, right? Intrinsically. It's just our human reaction to it is, whoa, that feels hot.
Right.
So
it's burning,
I guess.
Right. That's what it's doing to you. It's burning. It's doing. It's burning you through chemically. It's doing a burn. It's doing a chemical burn.
It's not a real burn.
Right.
It's just a sensation of a burn.
Right. But that burn actually helps you be more sensitive to taste. So right. That's the interesting thing.
That is interesting because after you have a hot pepper, right?
You can't taste anything.
Right. The meal's ruined. You know what I'm saying? You don't have the hot peppers. Like.
So you can do a little bit of hot pepper to enhance. We have a Mazel Tov to Moshe Ephraim Khan from Manchester. Mazel Tov and his engagement.
That's a big milestone. I hope he invites us to the wedding.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Right?
Yeah.
All tickets paid.
That would just... Just going to say that. Business class or above. Okay, also, we have a shout out, and this was from a comment that was emailed to us. We're not going to say the full name. So, by the way, if you want us to give you the full shout out with the full name, you got to just tell us when you send us the feedback or the request for the shout out. Let us know. So, this is from Avraham. I'm not going to say his last name. And he's talking about the fact that in the last episode, we were talking about the IDF soldiers who were making Kiddush in the tank. And we were discussing if you actually needed yarmulke when you're inside the tank, yes or no. And they were covering each other's heads with their hands. And then you had said that it's possible that inside a tank, they don't need to cover their heads.
Because they're wearing the tank.
Right.
Like, kind of like a joke.
Yeah, exactly. He was tongue-in-cheek. You didn't mean it. But so he actually writes the following. You rightly pointed out that the tank's roof could be used as a kippah. According to the Rashbam, when you're under a roof, it's considered a head covering. The late Rav Aaron of Belz Zatzal, when he saw Yidden without kippahs, he called them Rashbam Yidden. His way of limud zchus on those Yidden, that they behave according to halacha. Keep up the amazing podcast. I thought that was really nice.
I love that email because it's lamaisa.
Yeah. You know?
It just brings it home.
Yeah, yeah. And it reminds me, you know, Rabbi Miller Zatzal used to also, he had a very similar approach. He used to say, when you walk by a frum Jew, you should give him a blessing.
Yes.
You know, and it's not easy to do, by the way.
No, because I don't like anybody personally.
Right. And he said you should figure out, look at whatever it is, find something good, and then give them a bracha.
But I do. I've worked on this.
Me too.
You know, because I have nothing against them.
Hasn't really rubbed off, though.
No, meaning,
hasn't become lamaisa, let's be honest.
Actually, in a way, it's kind of easier when you don't know somebody. It's hard to, like, bless the people that you do know.
Yes and no.
Does that make sense?
Yes and no. No, you're in a car. The car cuts you off, and he starts stealing your parking space.
He just did something to you. Forget that.
But that's where the test is.
But if you're walking in Borough Park, right, and there's just Jews everywhere. You're walking in Israel, Jerusalem, Hulon, wherever, and you just see Jews. Like, you can, like, you have nothing against them. You love all Jews, always. So you can make a little prayer.
You love all Jews.
I do. I really do. I love every single Jew.
Me too. Kind of.
I love the Jews as a whole. When you get into individuals, it's a little bit more complicated.
That's right.
But you can bless those. You can pray or daven that these people should just be blessed.
Yeah. You're right. Okay, the next thing comes from Ellie, who bought a whole bunch of coffees. And he writes the following, and this was just really nice. We don't usually read the coffee dedications, but this one was pulled on our heartstrings a little bit. We absolutely love this podcast in our house.
Is that several O's?
Yes, okay. Many, many O's.
Just checking.
Thanks to you, we got the Berna. We did apple testing, ice cream with oil, raffle tickets, and lots of other ideas you guys give over. Both my boys can't wait every Wednesday till it comes out. They come running home to turn it on. Keep pumping away. You're doing a big mitzvah by keeping people happy and especially having kids listen to your entertainment than all the other junk kids are into. Best, Ellie.
That was so nice. Thank you to Ellie Wiener.
Ellie, we appreciate it. And, you know, it gives us chizuk, and it gives us chizuk to keep going. But I'll tell you what else gives us a lot of chizuk to keep going.
What is it?
Money. Money, 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 money.
He bought the coffees, didn't he?
I know, but what about everybody else who's listening?
Right, that's true, guys. Get on the bandwagon.
You want to give us the encouragement, you could send us emails. We love them. You could send us WhatsApp messages. We love those. But we like money, cold, hard cash. But the truth of the matter is, we're not asking for your money. We're asking to help us pay for the costs associated with keeping up this podcast. We dedicated ourselves that if we make a certain amount of money, we are going to take it on the road and do a show remotely from Eretz Yisrael. That's still on the table, but you guys have to make it happen. And the way you make it happen is by buying us a coffee. You go to buymeacoffee.com/Kiddush Club or go to our website, kiddushclubpodcast.com, and click Buy Me a Coffee there.
Okay, what is happening this week?
It's a lot happening. A lot happening. A lot of stories about Jews. A lot of stories about planes. A lot of stuff going on.
I saw a lot of plane stories.
A lot of plane stories.
I did see them.
Scary, right?
Yeah. You know, people send them. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, people send them in just in case we missed it.
Right. We do many times. I mean, we appreciate when you guys send stuff in. Many, many times we've seen it already. And if we don't talk about that story, it doesn't mean we didn't see it. It means that we couldn't fit it in. We got pressed for time, etc. But anyway, before we get to the airplane stories, let's first start with Israel. So first of all, we covered in the last episode the airdrops that the United States was making into Gaza. Unfortunately,
I'm just reminded of the bit from last time.
Oh, you're laughing from that. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, you know that one of the parachutes. So what they're dropping aid on pallets. You know, like these are the wooden crates stacked with food. And one of the parachutes didn't open. And five people were actually killed when the pallet came down.
That's tragic.
It's tragic. But why are you smiling? Why are you laughing?
But I'm not.
You are. It's tragic.
It is tragic because they were these are hungry people.
But you know what?
That are waiting for food and it gets dropped on their head.
Right, right. It's tragic. But it also shows like America is like, oh, Israel has to do more to help the civilian population.
Why don't you do more?
Yeah. No. And then they do it. Oh, very good, America. You just killed five people trying to feed them.
Right.
Great job, America. So maybe before, and I shouldn't say America because it's really Biden and Kamala, before you stop pointing fingers and saying Israel's not doing a good job, how would you do in the same circumstance? Well, we know how you would do because you just killed five people trying to feed them. I need to tone it down a notch, don't I? Getting worked up.
Yeah, okay. I'm a little bit frozen.
Okay. We're going to go through it quickly. There's a lot to cover, so we're just going to move.
Let's go.
Okay. Bibi says that they may have assassinated Hamas number four and that numbers 1, 2, and 3 will be next.
Are those the ones that are in Qatar?
No.
So 1, 2, and 3 are in Gaza.
No, no. Well, so the number four, I believe he's referring to Hamas leader Saleh al-Aruri in Lebanon in January. So these guys are all over. But Qatar, interestingly that you brought it up, has said that there's a news article saying that Qatar is saying that if Hamas doesn't agree to some sort of hostage swap, they're going to throw them out.
Right. Like it's time already.
Yeah, but I don't buy it. I want to see that happen. I don't buy it. It's all talk from Qatar.
What are they going to lie for?
Because it makes them look good on the world stage. It makes them look good to America.
So they're winking to like Khaled Mashal, like, don't worry, don't worry.
Exactly.
That's just what I tell them, don't worry. You're here to stay, Rahi.
And speaking of Lebanon, there's a story that has come out that, so you know that people use like dating apps to meet people, right?
I've heard of it.
You've heard of such a thing?
Yes.
So here's a crazy thing. So the IDF, due to the war that's going on in the north, they've been using these things that scramble GPS signals because, you know, they use smart bombs and things like that.
Okay.
So they've been scrambling GPS signals. So now it turns out that people in Israel are getting matched with people in Lebanon because the app doesn't know that one's in Lebanon and one's in Israel. You okay there?
Yeah, what are your hobbies? Yeah, I like shawarma, falafel.
What about you?
So I'm a big fan of rockets. We build them on my spare times. That's my hobby, you know. But in the weekday, I'm working in the mini mart.
Yeah, so could you imagine?
I cannot imagine because like it says that these two people are in Lebanon, but really one is in Israel and
right,
one's in Lebanon.
Right, wow. Or both in Israel and one's in Lebanon. And yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty scary stuff.
No, you just have to vet. You just have to like be sure. You know what I'm saying? If you're in Israel and you're listening to this, like just ask that question that you didn't think you needed to.
What are your hobbies, for example?
No. Like just
hey, where
recite,
are you located, by the
just
way?
Recite the Shema Yisrael for me.
Oh, that's good.
It.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay, also coming out of Israel, in their first Gaza deployment, the ultra-Orthodox battalion killed Hamas terrorists and destroyed a bunch of launch sites. This is the IDF's Netzach Yehuda battalion.
So it's an interesting story because it shows that the Haredim also have what it takes.
Right.
Right? To be in battle. But it's also like a double-edged sword because now, like, maybe they say, hey, you guys can do it. Give us more. Give us your top.
Right.
Right? Right. And those guys are learning in yeshiva.
Right. Exactly. That's a valid point. Moving away from Israel, let's talk a little bit about Israel and anti-Semitism in the rest of the world, specifically the United States. We're going to start with Congresswoman from New York, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She had a meltdown. A bunch of protesters were attacking her because they felt she wasn't stark enough against Israel. And then she just loses it on them. And this is what it sounded like.
Don't tell me I'm lying. Then just say it's a genocide. Just say it. Over 30,000 people are dead, AOC. You can't just say it for once. Just say the word. That's it. That's all we want you to say.
Cut it, and you're going to cut this, and you're going to clip this, so that it's completely out of context. I already said that it was, and y'all are just gonna pretend that it wasn't over and over again. It's up, man. You're not helping these people, TV. And you're not helping them.
You refuse to.
You're not helping them.
To me, I find this whole thing to be just an exercise in futility. Like, oh, let her just say genocide. Like, what is the point? This is doing nothing. These activists, you know what they should do? Get a job. How about that?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Because it's the middle of the day.
Yes.
It's clearly the middle of the day. They clearly have nothing else going on
in
their world.
And there's so many. And it's funny that you're mentioning that. So there's two takeaways, and I want to digress for a second. So there was an article, I think we mentioned it previously. It was in Tablet Magazine. So this article was written by a professor of statistics and data science at Wharton. Right, so he's a guy who knows, I would say he knows his numbers.
He's some credentials.
He's got some credentials. And he goes through, and we definitely mentioned this, he goes through the numbers that Hamas reported of the deaths. And he shows how basically it's impossible statistically that the numbers are accurate. Impossible. And yet, everybody, including AOC and including the protesters, everybody takes it as a given. Oh, 30,000 people were killed, including majority women and children.
Right, of course.
And it's just a foregone conclusion, right? It's crazy.
And people need to realize that these numbers are furnished by Hamas.
Right.
Right? Brought to you courtesy of Hamas terror organization.
Right. And so, exactly. And I just want to read to you from this article, one of the paragraphs. Perhaps what is happening is the Gaza Ministry is releasing fake daily numbers that vary too little because they do not have a clear understanding of the behavior of naturally occurring numbers.
That's interesting. So hang on a second, because I think you have to halt cup for this.
Yes. So basically what he does is he looks at how, for example, you'll have, let's say there's one day and there's 100 people are killed and 50 are men and 50 are women. Then you'll have the following day where it will say 150 only women. And then the day after it's 200 and it's women and children and no men.
So that's what he means. That's not naturally occurring.
Exactly.
Right. There's very little chance that only women were killed. Right. On Tuesday.
Exactly.
Right.
And so many women. And what it kind of starts to look like is that when they were, you know, on the days, let's say there was not that many people killed, not that many Hamas fighters killed, they just inflated the numbers by adding women and children to it.
Right. So basically, they don't know how to count. Because like a normal terror organization, right, would even out the numbers, right? Just let it be like a little bit.
Right.
Like these guys are like, they don't really know how to count. It's like 1, 2, 3, 10, 50, 100, 20,000, 30,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the numbers. I don't make it up.
Yeah. So, but you're Malamed Zchus on them because you're saying that they're doing it.
They're just low aptitude.
Right. I don't think so. I think it's all being done.
Nefariously.
Nefariously. Yes, correct. Okay, back to the news. And to contrast AOC, Congresswoman from New York, we have two other congresspeople, and we're going to play those videos for you here. The first one is from Representative Brian Mast from Florida. Listen to this one.
Absolutely not.
No, I know that because I've talked to you before.
You know where we stand on terrorists?
You're a terrorist.
You know where we stand on terrorists? We stand on their throats.
Oh my God, you are a monster.
You really have to see that video to appreciate
it. Yeah.
And that'll be in our WhatsApp group, and you can join that at kiddishclubpodcast.com or from the show notes.
Right. What'd you think?
I think she's unhinged. I think there's clearly something wrong with her. And once again, she might benefit from getting a job.
Yes, agreed. Yeah. But that was a
great
line.
You'll be surprised what activity would do for a person.
What about the line? It's a great line. Do you know where we stand on terrorists?
We stand on their throats. Yeah, it's anti-terrorist, not necessarily pro-Israel.
But it's great.
It is great.
It's great. And the next one comes courtesy of Representative Chuck Fleischman, Republican from Tennessee. And this is what he had to say when he was approached by a bunch of protesters.
And you can tell the Palestinians, I will never support them.
I am a Palestinian myself.
And I will tell you, I will never support you. I will tell you to your face.
And you want my cousins to die.
Goodbye
to Palestine.
Goodbye
to
Palestine. We will support Israel forever.
No. So you are comfortable.
Just FYI, this guy just
goodbye to Palestine.
Always
support Israel.
So you just said goodbye to Palestine. So
now that's pro-Israel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's a little too pro-Israel, you know what I mean?
Well, he
could say goodbye to Palestine, and he's like, what about me and my cousins? He's like, goodbye.
Goodbye to you and you and you.
Bye-bye.
But he's clearly emotional. Like, if you turn the sound down, right, that could just be any fight in any shul. You know what I'm saying? Where the, like, the emotions run high. Yeah.
His face is red.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's, yeah, he's getting into it.
I think that's worthy of being declared pro-Semite of the week.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, good, we can't forget.
Cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. He is hereby declared pro-Semite of the week.
Right. We're going to send him the plaque for his office and all the Kiddush Club podcasts. Pro-Semite of the week.
We really should.
We really should
do that. We really should. You never know. You never know. Maybe we'll get an invite to the White House or to, you know, somewhere in Washington.
I'll take it.
Capitol, wherever. Okay. So this was an interesting story. So I had sent you this story and you caught something that I didn't even catch, which made the story so much better. So this story, they have the whole thing on video. So you see a woman who bought a bunch of groceries, and then you see, you know, she walks away for a second. Then you see another dude come to the groceries and he's drawing something on the groceries.
Right. And it's not a welcome note.
Right.
Right.
This guy, by the way, is an ex-pastor, right? He's an ex-pastor. I think he's Vietnamese pastor.
So he's clergy.
He's clergy. And what he ended up writing was a swastika, and she confronts him. Here's what it sounded like.
Is there a problem?
What?
Is there a problem?
No.
Is that a Nazi sign?
No.
What is that?
I'm just walking by here. I don't know.
I saw you. Hmm? I have a camera. Like, what is that? What did you draw there?
I don't know.
Well, can you tell me what that shape is? Mm-mm. You can't tell me what that shape is?
No.
I have it on camera. I mean, I know you did it. I don't know why you'd lie about it.
There is so much to unpack here.
Yes. This is video of the month.
Okay. First of all, the swastika is very poorly drawn.
It's not a swastika. Look at it. He can't get it down pat. It's not even, he wanted to claim that this was like the Buddhist symbol for peace, but it's not even that.
No, he didn't even say that. He was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what it is. And then finally, when she's like, you know, I have this all on camera. He's like, oh, like you see the wind come out of his sails and he's like, I got nothing. I'm just going to walk away.
That's right. And you know, what's funny, and we're going to include the video and we're going to include a picture of the swastika that he drew or that he attempted to draw. And so you pointed out, ironically, that what did he draw on?
He drew it on a case of seltzer.
It's so crazy.
Which is coming like right after our seltzer episode.
Yeah. But you know what? It just furthers the trope that Jews love seltzer.
Right? It's true, I guess.
And he's somewhere, you know, Mark Nakagawa. He's, you know, somewhere cursing out the Jews. And
but why? Why such a Jew hater? Why would you random? Like, you're a man of faith.
Well,
why the hate? And just what? Like, for what? Just draw a swastika on some lady's seltzer for what? Like, what's going to happen? She's going to go home and cry?
I'll tell you why, because the article actually says, Nakagawa said, quote, he was trying to educate Grossman about the history of the swastika as a Buddhist symbol of love, and he did not know how Grossman would react toward the drawing.
So wait a second.
Very innocent.
So he's continuing with this narrative.
Well, he's on camera, right?
Right.
He can't say he didn't do it.
Right. So basically he's like, no, that was just a love letter.
Right.
Right? I was just showing my support.
So ridiculous. So he's going to get anti-Semite of the week.
Yeah, I would say that. Again, just no reason. Like, you don't have a reason. Like, why would you terrorize somebody's life?
Yeah.
For what?
And like, yeah, it's just terrorizing them. That's all it is.
Because she's going to go home and be afraid.
Right.
Right. That's what's going to happen.
Right.
And that
was his goal.
And that's it.
Right. And now the church distanced themselves from him. He was part of the United Methodist Church. They distanced themselves from him. They said, we have nothing to do with him anymore. So, I mean, at least it was caught on camera, because if it wasn't, you know, it could have escalated.
No, it wouldn't have escalated. Meaning, where? He just would have denied it and we would have, she would have said, right.
But she would have been pretty scared about how that came about.
Now she knows that it's just a middle-aged pastor that is really harmless.
And also needs to get a job.
Right.
Right?
Right. He's retired, isn't
he? You can really answer almost every...
Get a job.
Every kasha.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving to New Jersey. So this ended up making national news and ended up being featured in the New York Times. So we saw videos. We were following the progress of this from last week already. So there was an event going on in Teaneck. Obviously, for those that don't know, obviously there's a very large Orthodox Jewish community in Teaneck. They were having like this Israeli real estate expo, and the other side got wind of it. And so there was a call for protest. And what's scary is, and here we'll include this in the WhatsApp, and just as an example, there's a picture here of what seems like a woman in a tichel, and it says, it was posted on Instagram, and it says, this Muslim woman went in disguise in Canada. And what's crazy is, and you know, we have people from Teaneck, from the Teaneck community, who are aware of this from before. And they, for example, they posted a picture of a woman who's Muslim, and she's wearing what looks to be a tichel. She looks like a regular Jewish woman, and she's actually a Muslim in disguise, who goes to the shul, to the event, and they're infiltrating, and it's pretty scary stuff.
But what do they want? Like, what do they want with the event?
Same thing that they want when they're screaming genocide, the same thing that they want when they're blocking the motorcade when Biden is going to speak at the State of the Union address, same thing they want when they try to stop the airports from functioning. Chaos, really, is what they want. They want chaos because by starting chaos, that brings more eyeballs to the whole thing, the supposed genocide and the supposed, you know, injustice that's going on. So here's just one of the videos, and this is what the protest looked like outside in Teaneck. So it's worth noting also that there were some counter-protesters, but they were vastly outnumbered.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that. They also have those chants down pat.
Oh, yeah, they're great with the chants.
They're very good with the chants. It's very organized.
It's very, very organized. As you know, I've been to several of these now, and I can tell you that it's super organized. They have everything is done with perfection. Every single chant is... Everybody knows them, first of all. They have a system for which chant they go to from one to the next. And let me tell you something. After you come back, I'm just telling you, I'm like, find myself in the bathroom and I'm going, you can't hide, we can ruin genocide. I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
So that's what you sing in the shower?
Yes. That's what I'm telling you. It's crazy. And I catch myself. I'm like, where did that come from? And, you know, and I have to just start thinking Yishai Rebo just to clear up my brain. Yeah, no joke.
Here's the thing. Where does this all come from? Like, is there a protest company that you can, like, how do you... Where do you go? Let's say I wanted to employ these people just to get my word out there. Is there a protest arrangement corporation?
I like how you're thinking. There's money to be made here.
That's what I'm saying
There's
to you.
There's big money
that's
to be made.
If we can advertise and just tell people, if you want your protest to go right.
We're the protest guys.
Exactly. We'll get you chants. We got a formation. We have flags. Whatever. Your one-stop shop. For your Palestinian protests.
How do you know it's not Jews making money? How do you know it's not two Hasidic guys from Borough Park?
It probably is. Chaim Yankel, we need new slogans. Genug schon mit River to the Sea. Hello.
It's for sure. I would not be surprised.
I mean, listen, if it's going to happen anyway,
yeah,
let Jews make money.
Make money. Yeah, I like it. And I'm hoping you're right. London, England. There was an article that came out in The Telegraph, and it says, pro-Palestinian protests are turning London into, quote, a no-go zone for Jews. The counter-extremism czar said as he warned that extremist groups have gone unchallenged for too long. Basically, the article goes on to say that basically London is turning a blind eye to these protesters who have gone from just peaceful protesting to making it impossible for Jews to live in peace because it's too scary and it's just devolving into terrorism.
Are people moving out of London? Like, are Jews moving out of London?
Yes, absolutely. There's Jews all over the world. Jews in France are leaving. We covered this a little bit. And, you know, just over the weekend, there was a protest. Nobody was arrested. Nobody on the pro-Hamas side was arrested. The only person who was arrested was a guy, a pro-Israel guy. I don't know if he's Jewish. He was carrying a sign that said, Hamas are terrorists. And here's a video of the guy getting thrown to the ground by London police. I'll play a little bit of it. Here it is.
Stay by. Just give me space to work, please.
Shame on you! Shame on you! Shame on you! Shame on you! Yeah, take it, please!
I mean, you never like to see something like that. It looks like he was just protesting.
Right.
But we don't know the context. But I don't think he did anything wrong.
Right. I don't know. But to me, I'm not planning to go to London anytime soon.
I never was.
Right? So Londoners, we don't know what's going on there, but give us a shout out. Let us know how you're feeling. What's going on? Is this true? Is this article correct that it's because London has become a no-go zone for Jews? Let us know.
I hope not.
Hope not as well. Okay, let's move to the United States. The big news, I mean, the Biden State of the Union happened this past week, and that was pretty big. He was slurring a lot, but he looked awake, which was good.
Yeah, him. I mean, you know, the amphetamines did their job.
Yes, they did. You see them wearing off as
the night goes on.
As the night goes on. So for our first clip, we're going to play a little bit of what Biden said about Israel and Gaza. Here it is.
Israel has a right to go after Hamas. Hamas ended this conflict by releasing hostages, laying down arms, could end it by releasing the hostages, laying down arms, and surrendering those responsible for October 7th. But Israel has an added burden because Hamas hides and operates among the civilian population like cowards under hospitals, daycare centers, and all the like. Israel also has a fundamental responsibility, though, to protect innocent civilians in Gaza. This war has taken a greater toll on innocent civilians than all previous wars in Gaza combined. More than 30,000 Palestinians have been killed, most of whom are not Hamas.
Now, there's a lot to be done with this clip.
Yeah.
You must see it. You have to see it.
To appreciate it.
To appreciate it. But during that part of the speech, there's an applause. Kamala gets up, and as do most of the Democrats, but Mike Johnson, who's Republican,
Speaker of the House,
stays seated.
No clapping.
How do you stay seated for innocent civilians?
And the entire Republican base is also not standing and
but
clapping.
What's the shot?
Very simple. Because what Biden said is Israel must do more to protect innocent civilians, which implies that Israel's not doing enough to protect civilians. And Israel has repeatedly said, we are doing more than any army in modern times to prevent civilian deaths. We are doing urban fighting, and we covered this in previous podcasts. There is no other army on planet Earth that has been in an urban war like Israel who did a better job.
And you said modern times. I can't imagine in ancient times it was any better.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You throw a catapult, that's it. Wipe out the whole village.
Absolutely not. But just to contrast that, and then we'll get back to the State of the Union. I mean, Trump, while that State of the Union was going on, he posted this.
I cannot believe that this is coming from a president.
A past president and a current candidate for president.
I just can't believe it.
So what you're seeing in the video, again, you must join the WhatsApp because you have to see the video, is he's using like these camera filters. He has Biden and Kamala giving the State of the Union, and he's using filters to change their faces.
Right. It's caricatures mostly.
Yeah.
But like in one of them, Biden's nose grows long like Pinocchio.
Right. Oh, it's so good. Again, love Trump, hate Trump. He is, by far and away, makes politics so much more entertaining.
It's almost like you don't want to miss it.
Yeah. So there was a bunch of interesting things, by the way, that happened in that State of the Union. Here was one of them. Listen to this clip.
More than 30,000 Palestinians have been killed, most of whom are not Hamas.
So there were other interesting things that happened during the State of the Union. Among them, so as Biden was talking about the civilian deaths, he said, you know, over 30,000 people have died. And you hear someone from the crowd say, according to who? Something like that.
Mm, that had to be like a Republican.
So it turns out it's Sid Rosenberg from 770 WABC. He has the morning show called Sid and Friends. And he was invited and he was there. And that's what he shouted out. And he got thrown out because of it. He actually, the line that he said was, says who? Right? So Biden said, 30,000 civilians have died, and he screamed out, says who? Which is great, because he's trying to force Biden to say,
according to the Gaza Ministry of Health, which is
Hamas.
Run by Hamas, right?
Right.
I can't believe he actually got thrown out for that.
Yeah, you can't do stuff like that.
You can't heckle the president of the United States, no matter who he is.
And then, after the speech, he got caught on a hot mic. So you know what a hot mic is? That's when they don't know that they're mic'd up and they say something that they didn't realize that everyone in the world was listening in on.
I was telling your secretary, you know, I was in Jordan and Israel this weekend, and just, you know, you got to keep pushing what you're doing. I'm like humanitarian stuff and all this stuff. So
I told him, baby, I'm going to do this. I said, baby, you know, I'm going to come to Jesus.
Sir, just...
I'm a hot mic. Oh, good. That was good.
see you. This
is so good.
Talk to you, Mom.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to hear. I'll tell you what was going on. So what's happening, because it's hard to hear, is that Biden is talking to some of the other people in attendance, and he's saying, I told him, Bibi, don't repeat this. You and I are going to have a come to Jesus meeting. A little ad-libbing there. And then somebody can be heard saying, sir, you're on a hot mic.
Right.
So he's telling him, by the way, don't repeat this to anybody. And he's saying it to millions, hundreds of millions of people.
The whole world. No, effectively the entire world.
Yeah.
But BB's not falling for any of this.
No. No. And the question that everybody had, I mean, you didn't even ask the question, but what is a come to Jesus meeting? What does that mean?
I imagine it just means like an accounting, like,
yeah.
Hello.
That we is need what it to- means. That's right. That's right. That is what it means.
Yeah.
And BB responded, basically. He didn't respond directly, but he repeatedly said that if Biden means that we're going to stop this without eliminating Hamas, that's a red line for us.
Right. It's off the table.
It's off the table because Biden also over the weekend was on MSNBC where he said that the Rafah and an invasion of Rafah would be a red line for the United States. So Bibi is just shooting right back and saying, we're not going to stop.
If you think about it, Bibi has absolutely nothing to lose.
Well, I mean, a lot of materiel from the United States, military equipment.
But I think Biden has already said, we are never going to stop supporting Israel militarily. We're never going to not give them the missiles they need for Iron Dome. That's never going to happen. Again, it's an ally of the United States. So unless you state it unequivocally, which is, I guess, what he meant, Bibi's just going forward.
Right. And before we finish in politics, you cannot make this up. George Santos is running once again.
No, come on.
Oh, yes.
So wait a minute. Cameo wasn't cutting it for him.
He wasn't. You want to hear what's crazy? I think he might win.
No, come on. Stop.
Yeah. You know why? Because at this point, everybody knows what he's about. And if he gets the Republican nomination, it's possible.
Everyone knows what he's about? Yeah, he's a liar.
Yes, that's right. Like everybody else
in
politics.
So why would you hire him? Like, why would you not hire him, but why would you vote him into office?
Because if it was him or a Democrat and you're a diehard Republican, you'd vote for the Republican.
So the devil you know.
Exactly.
Wow.
So that's the story with Israel and the United States, Israel as it pertains to the United States. But I want to jump for a second to our sports segment.
Oh, we're still doing that.
We're still doing it. Yeah. Listen, as the sports stories keep coming, we're going to keep covering them.
Let's do it.
So the first one, I actually saw this from David Beshevkin, our friend David Beshevkin, and it's a video and you could listen. And in it, you see Draymond Green, a player for the Golden State Warriors. What is the Golden State?
Well, you should know that.
No,
that
it's
much
California, right?
Okay, there you go.
But why are they called the Golden State Warriors and not the California Warriors? It's like saying the Big Apple Yankees.
This is like a kasha for myself, like fighter.
Okay.
Whatever.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
It's a horror.
Maybe.
Okay. We don't know why, but they're called the Golden State Warriors. And in the clip, you see what must be a Jewish guy wishing a mazel tov to Draymond Green on the birth of a child. Here's what it sounded like.
How's the baby?
Good. Good.
How old now?
Should turn 4 months tomorrow.
Mazel tov.
Mazel, baby.
You gotta love that. Here's my question, though. This video looks like it was taken from very, very far. How do they have sound?
It says mic'd up. Listen.
Oh, maybe they were mic'd
up.
Yeah,
we don't know sports, right? So
right.
I think this must be things they do in sports arenas.
Could be, I guess.
But what was cool is his response to him. He's like, mazel tov. And then he's like,
yeah,
mazel.
Mazel.
And he gives him a fist bump.
Right.
Which was nice.
That probably speaks to his experience with 47th Street.
Right?
Because you know
he's in California,
jewelers.
Though. But he's in California.
But you know, he's a
man of the world.
International celebrity.
Superstar, right?
But you know, on 47th Street, once you say the word mazel, deal's done.
Oh,
you know
really?
That?
I didn't know that,
yeah.
No.
This is, it's the course
mazel?
Of business.
Not mazel tov, just mazel.
No, just mazel. That is a binding agreement by law.
What?
Yeah.
By American law.
By American
no,
law at this
no.
point. Fact check me.
Fact check.
You never trust me. It's amazing.
So at just a quick glance, it does, I'm finding an article that says what you said, but I cannot find it from like a real major authoritative source.
I mean, wait, that was literally 10 seconds of Googling.
Yes, that's right.
That's all you're giving it.
So I'm not going to spend more time trying to prove myself wrong, okay?
Good.
But yeah, it's very possible that you're right. But basically, one of the things is saying that It's a binding oral agreement.
Yes.
But I would argue and say a person doesn't know that. I don't know that. If you just say, hey, how's Mazel? And I go, Mazel.
No. You're talking about when you're discussing product and you're talking to somebody in the business, right? And you look at each other and you have an understanding. The word Mazel is binding.
Right.
That's an oral contract.
Right. Assuming both parties know exactly what it means. Right. They know that that's a binding contract. Okay. So also in sports news, so back in January, there was a game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Miami Dolphins. These are football teams. And it was one of the coldest weather games ever played by the NFL. With the wind chill, it was negative 27 degrees. And so there were a lot of people who braved it to go watch it and, you know, to go to the game in person. And it turns out that some of those people got frostbite and had to have limb amputations because of it.
No.
Oh, yes. Here's a picture.
Oh, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, this is a true thing.
You see, seeing something like this just makes me feel like I'm missing something.
There's a crazy amount of Mesir Nefesh going on for sports.
And I'm a Mesir Nefesh guy. You know what I'm saying? If I would love something, like if I would have a real love to it, I'll go to the ends of the earth. Like, I feel like I'm just missing out.
Yeah, we are both missing out.
Yeah.
We need to do something.
I don't know what.
Because, I can't think of many things in life I would risk getting frostbite for.
Right. Actually, there's absolutely nothing that I would risk.
Pretty much.
So, yeah. I'd like to get something.
Would you do it if it was like Yom Kippur and no, I can't really.
Putter.
right.
That's it.
Yeah, nothing.
Like,
comes
it has to be something elective that you would be willing to. Like, these people are willing to die. I mean, if they're giving up limbs.
They're giving up limbs. I don't know about die, but they're giving up limbs.
Yeah.
What if I told you you'll get $10 million?
I would do it.
Wow.
No, that's it.
That was done.
No thoughts.
Cut off a finger for 10 mil.
Ooh.
That's what
this
here.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 10 mil, you give you up know, your index finger.
You can't.
Would you do it?
No.
Okay.
I'll tell you why I wouldn't do it. That is actually, like, that's a life and death thing. Meaning, like, if somebody has a limb that they're going to lose, chas v'shalom, you're allowed to break Shabbos for that.
Yes, for sure.
Because that's considered life and death. Even though there's no life and no death, like, a person could survive without a finger.
What if I guaranteed you this is going to be done in a controlled setting in a hospital? You're going to give up a finger. You're going to get a cool 10 mil in the bank.
I can't do it. I need every finger. I need all the fingers.
So why don't you say right now, Baruch Hashem, that you have 10 fingers. You have 10 fingers. It's worth at least 100 million.
Yes. Yeah, your health is worth.
See?
There's no money on
health. And we take it all for granted.
Yeah.
See that?
You're right. Amazing? I don't know when this turned into a Musa Shmuz.
When I started doing the tune. The Musa tune.
Right.
Okay. And as promised, let's talk a little bit about what went on with the airlines this week.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Because there was a lot of action.
Well, four of the stories were about United Airlines.
Hmm.
That's the crazy part. So, okay, first of all, there was a United Airlines flight that, after it landed in Texas, skidded off the runway, and everybody had to be evacuated.
But how does that happen? Why would it skid off a runway? Was it icy?
No.
Is there a condition?
No.
So why?
We don't know yet. We don't know. But Baruch Hashem, nobody was hurt. Everybody, you know, walked away fine. Then there was another event where United flight, after it takes off, and we have video of this, it loses a wheel. Another wheel has come off of a plane.
It's crazy because, like, when it rains, it pours.
Tires.
Right.
So this was a Japan-bound United flight, and you see in the video, and the tire just falls right off.
But look,
also,
to
everybody's
be fair,
okay. Everybody was okay.
But to be fair, there's like a lot of tires. Like, there's at least 16 or 32 tires.
Okay, but none of them are supposed to come off, okay?
It's true. But you know what?
Think about the danger on the ground.
Yeah. Did you see the picture of the cars that were damaged?
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Well, I have it on good authority that pallets that where parachutes don't work, people die from those.
Yeah, yeah.
So a tire falling from very high up
can probably do it.
Can kill someone. Also with United, another flight was diverted from San Francisco to Mexico City, was diverted to Los Angeles after there was an issue with the plane's hydraulic system. And again, made an emergency landing. Everybody's okay. But again, another United incident. And lastly, there was an incident, and this is the scariest of the bunch. A flight had to land because I think it was bubble wrap got ingested by the engine, and the engine caught fire, and there's a video of it. Here's the video. Not much to hear, so we'll include it in the WhatsApp. Then there was another.
Whoa. You're moving on too fast.
Because there's so many.
Could you imagine being on such a flight?
No. I don't think about these things. I cannot think about it. If I think about it, I'm not going to fly ever again, so I have to not think about it.
Okay, let's not think about that. But how did it occur? And how did, like, how do we
prevent it?
I don't know about prevent, but if we know how it happened, maybe we could somehow rationalize taking the next flight.
Well, I say this. In every one of these stories that we mentioned, everybody landed safely.
Okay, Baruch Hashem.
Yeah, exactly. So the point of the matter is that these planes, they're, you know, technological marvels. And at the end of the day, as we know, a plane can land with only one engine, it still can land, even with no engines, as we know from Sully, right? A plane can land with no engines if the pilot is skilled enough. So, you know, that's the comfort that I take. And at the end of the day, you really have to always have emun and betachon, right?
Yeah, well, yes, always. But how did the bubble wrap get in there?
I don't know.
Like
investigation.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe it was on the way up and it was like low, so it wasn't really flying very high.
Well, it did happen shortly, you know, into
takeoff. Shortly after takeoff. Right. Yeah, because how's bubble wrap can't get to 30,000 feet.
I'm just going to say that. And here's one that was on Yeshiva World, and this is unfortunately with a Boeing. I mean, Boeing, when it rains, it pours on Boeing, right?
Yeah.
This is a Boeing Dreamliner. Yeah.
Like, are there even other companies?
Yeah, Airbus.
Airbus.
And there's Bombardier. That's another one. But Airbus is the big is Boeing's biggest competitor.
Well, Boeing is such a household name because of these stories.
Well, Airbus is European and Boeing is an American company.
But there's also Lockheed, right?
Yeah. Well,
do they make passenger?
They don't, no. Mm. They do the fighter jets. So 50 people in this one's a little scarier. 50 people were actually injured when a Boeing plane experienced what they're calling, quote, a technical event.
What a description. Like, what happened?
Officials described it as, quote, strong movement on a Chilean plane that was traveling from Sydney to Auckland, New Zealand. It seems that at a certain point, the plane nosedived. I mean, he said that in the video we just watched where he said the plane took a nosedive. But here, it took such a major nosedive that people, I mean, according to the article on Yeshiva World, people who weren't seatbelted hit the roof of the ceiling of the plane. And actually, there was damage on the ceiling because they hit it that hard.
From skulls.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Very scary.
But you should always be seatbelted whenever you're in a plane. If you're in your seat, there's no harm in putting your seatbelt on, right? It can only save you. And it's not really uncomfortable because it doesn't have a chest belt.
Right.
So just leave it on. That's even if you leave it loose.
And they tell you that all the time.
Yeah.
Right? They constantly say, if you're sitting in your seat, keep it on. But we don't listen.
Do you?
I do. I don't take it off. I've said this on the podcast.
No, you
I
probably down, leave it like...
I have a 5-point harness that I put on.
You probably pull it very, very tight at all times.
Yes, I told you, I don't lean my chair back. I keep the seatbelt on. I don't go to the bathroom. I put the map on in front of me. I'm in the zone.
So you're a dream to sit behind, basically.
Oh, yes, yes. Or next to. I don't move. I don't talk. I don't, nothing. Now that I don't go to the bathroom. I make sure I have to go. I mean, if it's a really long flight, I have no choice. I do it. But if it's a couple hours, I make sure that I don't drink from 24 hours beforehand.
You're locked in.
Locked in. Locked in. And then you sent me this Instagram post that says more than half of airline pilots admit to falling asleep during a flight. 29% of them said they woke up and saw the other pilot asleep as well. I didn't believe it, so I fact-checked it, of course. It's true. It comes from an article in 2013 from BBC where the pilots admit that they both had fallen asleep. And no sooner did I read that and fact-check it that an article popped up on my feed. And this came out on March 11th. And this article says that two pilots of an Indonesian airline have come under fire after an incident report revealed they both fell asleep during a January flight with more than 150 people on board. The pilots were unreachable for roughly half an hour, waking to find that the plane had veered off course.
I mean, this just the number, the percentage is just staggering. 29% means that you have been on several flights.
Right.
Which
29% was both.
Right. Where both pilots have been just schluffing.
Yes.
Just out.
Yeah.
Out cold. You can knock on the cockpit door, nobody home.
It just happened this week.
Right. And Indonesia already has planes missing. You know what I'm saying?
Not a good look for Indonesia.
No.
Wait, you mean Malaysia?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Same area.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. I don't think they would say that, but okay. This story is coming out of France. Scientists and vets are urging the president of France to give more protection to the world's most traded species of frog. As it turns out, French people consume a lot of frog's legs. Did you know this?
No, I did not know this.
Yes.
I did not. But
the EU imports the equivalent of 80 to 200 million frogs each year, the majority of which are consumed in France.
and just for the legs.
Yeah.
What do they do with the rest of the frog?
I don't know.
Well, it doesn't really matter because the legs are the best part. That is what I love to eat.
Yeah, well, they batter them and they fry them and, yeah, frog's legs.
Ooh la la.
getting hungry, huh?
That is just the appetizer.
And coming out of India, and this is a pretty serious story, the government in India raided this organization that was basically human trafficking. And what they were doing was they would convince people to go to get quote-unquote jobs overseas, like well-paying jobs overseas. But what they were actually doing was shipping them to Russia to fight in the war in Ukraine.
Wait a second. Is that really human trafficking? If you convince them, like they agreed to go. They're not getting like shoved into a container.
Right, but when they get off the plane and they realize that they're in Ukraine at the front lines and they want to go home.
Rakesh, I never signed up for this. They told me I will get a mini mart. That's what happens when you take biryani chicken from strangers.
Had to lure him in somehow.
Yeah, and that's what did it.
And we thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to join the WhatsApp group. You can do that either from the show notes or visit us at kiddishclubpodcast.com. Follow us on X, follow us on Instagram, and don't forget to support the cast by visiting buymeacoffee.com/kiddishclub. Show your support for the cast, and until next time, Kiddish Club out.
And this episode is copyright Kiddish Club Media.